Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. Please welcome Terry Savage. You all know her as a nationally known expert on personal finance and the markets and the economy. She is the author of The Savage Truth on Money, which is in the new edition has been named one of the best 10 money books of the year by Amazon.com. She blogs on Huffington Post, and she can be found on terrysavage.com. And she's also nationally syndicated by the Chicago Tribune. Terry, you're a busy lady, aren't you?
Well, the markets are always moving, so am I, Steve.
The other thing, too, you talk about moving. I understand that you and I are going to be seeing each other at the Money Show in Orlando, March 2nd to the 5th. What are you going to be talking about there?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the Money Show is just one of my favorite events of the year. I've been going to it and speaking at it and moderating programs for Kim Gittler for so many years, I won't even tell you. But I noticed that over the years that there's a lot of time spent on investing. That's what the Money Show is typically about. Not only traditional investments and sectors of the market and so many wonderful experts there, but other products that you can buy. And I'm just going to make the assumption people going to the Money Show are in some way successful. They've made money in the markets. And now the question is, what about all the other things that you should be thinking about? Everything from, you know, your withdrawal plan from your IRA, possibly needing long-term care insurance in some form, some of these new policies that combine with life insurance. What about your estate plan? These are all issues that people who are so busy making money forget they need to deal with when it comes to doing something with it.
That's a great point. Those are the issues we deal a lot in our practice here as well. And as I told you, I'm going to be there as well. And I'll be speaking on how to invest like Warren Buffett. And that's Saturday, March 5th at 1:30. Terry, as I said, will be there on March 5th at 8 a.m. to 8:45.
That's probably the seminar on what?
Yeah.
Okay, now what? But okay. I want to turn the interview around. You're not expecting this.
No.
But now everybody heard this. And I want just one little teaser on how you're going to tell people to invest like Warren Buffett.
Okay.
Just one tease for your segment.
Well, that's very nice of you. I think it's fairly simple, especially for me who's been following him all these years and reading all the books. And it's not only taking the long-term view, but it's understanding what constitutes a really good company and how to calculate the numbers, how to look out for very good management to steward your assets forward, and really not to think of the stock market as the primary mechanism for pricing your companies that you own. They're just quotes. You have to know what your company is worth and then make your investment decisions based on that.
Such sensible advice. Of course, it comes from you and Warren Buffett. If you go to my website, terrysavage.com, right on the homepage, there's an interview I did with Warren Buffett when the market was most in crisis a few years back, and he talks about those very same characteristics of being unafraid and being disciplined and buying when everybody, of course, is selling. And that's been his great, you know, his success, understanding value, which is we could all do.
Getting to that, let's talk about our topic these days. So the market, stock market is just plain scary these days. I mean, 2 or 3 weeks of 2016, it had an historic volatile downdraft that made everybody crazy. And so the kind of question I put to you, Terry, is what should people do when they see market gyrations like this?
And you know, I've been in the market for a long time, Steve. Don't forget, I was a founding member of the Chicago Board Options Exchange. So I was down there in 1973 watching the Dow go from over 1,000 to a low of 570.01 intraday. I remember that well. So basically cut in half.
Yeah.
And over all these years, I think there's some basics. I posted them in a column on the homepage at terrysavage.com. The first thing is you need perspective. And by that, I mean not just your most recent perspective, which is on everybody's mind, the, oh my gosh, look what happened in 2008, 2009, the market got cut in half. And then, oh my goodness, we had double-digit gains in 2012, 2013, and 2014. That gets you so conflicted. Is it going to be the beginning of another bear market?
Yeah.
If I get out now, will I miss double digits? So what you also need beside a real long-term perspective is some basic facts. And every talk I give this one fact. So stick with me and think about this. This is according to Morningstar's Ibbotson, the market historians. Now listen to this. It's true. There has never been a 20-year period, going back to 1926, when you would have lost money in a diversified portfolio of large company American stocks with dividends reinvested, even adjusted for inflation. Mm-hmm. So you can go to 1926 to 46, 1929 to 49, 1952 to 72. Pick every one of those 20-year periods, and even adjusted for inflation, you would have come out ahead. And by the way, in all those long years, there have been some scary times. I mean, there was the Depression, there was World War II, there was Kennedy's death, there was the Vietnam War, there was the inflation of the 80s. So there were many times when you would have thought, uh-oh, it's all over for America. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, the facts are that you never lost money over a 20-year period. Now, look at yourself.
Well, Warren Buffett does say that it's never been a good bet to bet against the American economy.
Exactly.
And that's what he's been doing, you know, since he was 10 years old. He's been betting on the American economy, and you don't really want to bet against it. You know, people kind of know this, Terry. They know it. They hear it a lot. And yet, they have these fears. It's like post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what I think it's like.
That's interesting. Well, we all know.
Out of 2008, you know, it was just so frightful and fearful.
Well, wait a minute. I remember 73. It was equally frightful and fearful.
True.
And 2000, we've had some very frightful, fearful times.
True.
And that's why perspective is important. But you know what? You're right. It doesn't matter that I can give you statistics or you can give them or even Warren Buffett can say it. Because when it comes to our own money, we're ruled by those two emotions that never confront you in everyday life, fear and greed. And that can make you do irrational things. So this is a time when it pays to have someone like yourself, a seasoned investment professional with whom you have made a plan, who will give you the courage to help your self-discipline stay strong to stick with the plan. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean everybody should be all in the stock market. You have to know yourself.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next. So let's move on to that. Now, as I get closer to retirement, and especially as I get to a point in my life where I don't have a regular income coming in besides, let's say, maybe a pension, if I'm lucky, or Social Security, how would you advise people to invest? Should they have all their money in the market? Should there be only a portion? If so, how would they think about it?
Well, first of all, you have to think not only about your own emotions. Let's leave those aside for a moment. You have to think your real stage in life. So whenever I'm speaking to a group of people where we have employees, they're still working. They're in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s even. I say to them, here's this 20-year historic fact that it's never been a losing thing for you. So you all have 20 years, maybe not 20 years until retirement. But surely, even if you're 65 and you're retired, the actuarial studies say you've got another 25 years. So the question is, what portion of your money do you want exposed to the stock market? Mm-hmm. And people still working and contributing need to make a serious commitment to continuing to put that $300 or $400 or $600 a month in the 401k and put it in that diversified stock portfolio. If you want to fool around the edges, fine. But the S&P 500 index fund in your 401k is your core holding of stocks. And you have to not get into this, oh my gosh, I can call up and push a button and transfer it out because look, it's going to fall more tomorrow.
Right.
You stick with that.
Right.
Now, when you get closer to retirement, that's when you work to diversify, perhaps into more conservative equity funds, equity income funds. I'm scared of bonds. I think every central bank in the world is trying to engender inflation by printing money, and one day they'll succeed. So I don't want to have a whole lot of money in bonds. And that brings me to chicken money, money you can't afford to lose. Cash, money market funds, CDs, you get paid nothing now. In Japan now, they're getting paid negative rates.
You have to pay them.
You have to pay them to hold your money.
Right.
So I understand it's a real disincentive, especially as people get toward retirement age or in retirement, to leave your money in cash. But you have to be careful you're not searching for higher yields and taking more risk. Mm-hmm. So this is the spectrum. And at any given moment, balance is what you seek, not because of what the market's doing today or this week or so far this year or what it might do in the first 6 months, but because this is your plan. And that's it. You need to set an appropriate balance for your situation, your liquidity needs. As you get to the point where you're required to take money out, you don't want to be forced to sell stocks at a bad time.
That's right.
Near the end
of the year. So
you need some cash.
Yeah. You know, I often make the analogy of the farmer who knows that winter is going to be coming. They plant their seeds in the spring, they harvest in the fall, but they know winter is coming. So what do? They put their part of their crop aside, They can it. They bottle it because they know that they're going to have to draw from that. The bonds, in the case of a bad market or a winter time in the marketplace, the bonds, your cash is where you go to get your sustenance. And then when the market does cycle back, which it always does, then you can start taking some more money off the table. Before we go on, Terry, let me reintroduce you. I'm speaking with Terry Savage, a nationally syndicated author and columnist. She writes for the Chicago Tribune, the Huffington Post, and she's the author of The Savage Truth on Money, and she can be found at terrysavage.com. So we're talking about this whole idea of being well-balanced, especially as you get older. You know, I did an analysis the other day for some clients where we were looking at projected 7.5% rate of return, but one of the people I was talking to said, you know, I'm scared to death. So we actually did the analysis based on that person having all of their money in CDs and the like. And guess what? The plan failed because those kinds of investments don't keep up with inflation, right?
You are doing something very sophisticated. Obviously, you're doing Monte Carlo, nothing to do with gambling,
right,
analysis, which models multiple scenarios historically based. So it's not just averages. Averages can be very dangerous.
Right.
You know about the guy that drowned crossing the river with an average depth of 3 feet. Yeah, it was 6 inches deep at the banks and 10 feet deep in the middle. So this is not guesswork. And this is not averages. And this is not, you know, I'll think about it tomorrow. When you get to the moment where you're no longer earning money, you know, you hope you'll have money at the end. We all do, whether it's for a charitable cause or for our children or grandchildren. But the goal is not to run out of money before you run out of time. And that requires some sophisticated modeling of how you invest and how much you can withdraw. And that's what you do for your clients, I know.
It is. You know, so what about millennials here? We've talked enough about retirees. Millennials, you wrote in one of your blogs that millennials prefer life insurance over retirement savings as a workplace benefit. That sounds really backwards. What's going on there?
Steve, I knew this would make you laugh. It made me laugh. You know, as a columnist, I get press releases all the time. And I got a press release from a life insurance company touting the fact they've done a survey and that for workplace benefits, millennials preferred, not just life insurance, by the way, paid time off and life insurance as opposed to 401k benefits. They just don't appreciate retirement benefits as much. Now, we know that millennials are a little different than the generations that came before them. We know they're not buying homes. We know they graduated, some of them, into a jobless economy, and many of them are just finally moving out of their parents' basements. So I understand the fear, and they also saw, you know, some terrible things happen in the stock market just when they were supposed to start contributing. I wish they had in 2008, 29, 2010, and 11, because the shares they bought then with the Dow at 6,700 and up to 10,000 and more would have been very profitable. So I think all of us who know about this 20-year time horizon, all of us who have done this over the years, invested regularly, we've made our mistakes too. I'm not immune from saying, I'm going to buy that. No, I'm going to sell that. Mm-hmm. That's always turns out to be a mistake. But what we really need to do is to educate the millennial generation that they have the most valuable commodity of all. Not money, time.
Time.
Time leverages money.
More time than any past generation, I think.
Exactly. And when you're young, you think that time is free. You don't consider time.
Yeah.
As you get older and we talk about retirement and making money less, time becomes a significant factor.
Yeah.
But if you start young, a small amount of money, consistently invested, leveraged over time, is really the best way that this generation will have to have some kind of future retirement security. So it distressed me greatly. And I just wrote a column. It's up at terrysavage.com in the Huffington Post under my name called Millennial Mistake.
Right.
And yet, here's a life insurance company going, oh, isn't this a great story? Why don't you write about it? I said, write about it. I'm just going to put this down immediately.
Exactly. My guest, Terry Savage, we are unfortunately out of time. We all know Terry Savage and her book, The Savage Truth. And Terry is going to be at The Money Show along with me. She's going to be there. The Money Show is from March 2nd to March 5th. Go to the World Money Show, or rather, I'll say it again, worldmoneyshow.com for more information. Terry, as always, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
I will see you there. You will find me sitting in the very back row in your program.
You got it. Will do.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.